Talking today with AFR President Scott Bluebein. Now, you recently got back from a House Ag Committee where you were testifying on behalf of some folks. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was quite an experience last week. I was up at the U.S. House of Representatives testifying on the condition of the livestock market and the livestock industry.
And what were some of the biggest concerns that you were taking to that committee?
Yeah, the biggest thing was competition. Or the lack of competition in this case in the fat cattle market, especially the fat cattle market. But we've had so much consolidation over the years in the business, and quite frankly, we have a lack of cash markets now. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to have price discovery the way the system is set up today. And so we advocated for reforms in the Mandatory Livestock Reporting Act to modernize it, to make it fit today's market. Most of the fat cattle today, the majority is sold by alternative marketing agreements, and those aren't reported into the data that USDA uses to establish prices. So by having all of that information in the system, we'll get much more transparency in the market and be able to make better decisions as farmers, ranchers, and feeders.
How did you feel it was received with the committee?
You know, I felt pretty good. Most time in the hearing, you have one side or the other. But I would say most, if not all, of those House members on the Ag Committee were all very positive about the message. They all saw the need for change. Some have a little different, angle of how to change it. Sure. And that's understandable. But we do think there'll be some compromises made in the next 3 months within the committee, and we'll have some new legislation that'll help us. So transparency is the big deal, and lack of competition, promoting more of these small processors, helping them get in business so we can have more small and very small processors. The United States Secretary of Ag announced a program there that day of $500 million that would go in guaranteed loans and grants throughout the country to help put more small and very small processors in business and help them stay in business, help them be able to get federal inspectors that they desperately need there as well. So all of that money is earmarked for the very small. None of that money will go to the big four packers. It'll all go to small operations. And so we're excited about that as well.
Absolutely. Was that the main call to action when you left there?
Oh, I think a contract library was part of the puzzle that we need, because there are so many AMA agreements out there. And we've documented over 300 different contracts that are floating around and the big four packers are using. And so nobody knows the deal. Nobody knows the price. Nobody knows the terms. And so that lack of transparency really limits what we can do in the marketplace. So by creating a contract library that USDA would manage then and have all the terms and the prices available and that data included in the price reporting is very valuable. The pork industry already has it. In many cases, it's the same processors that process our pork are processing our beef. And so they don't, in my opinion, they don't have any excuses why they can't do this. They're doing it in the pork industry. It's obviously not been detrimental to anyone. And there's no reason why we can't do it in the beef industry. So the contract library, the mandatory price reporting, that is up for renewal. We got a 3-month extension on it till December, but it really needs overhauled and modernized. It's a good program, but we need to modernize it, and I think the committees are going to do that.
What are some things that the federal and state governments can do to kind of help with competition in marketing and processing?
Well, I spoke a little bit about one of the success stories here in Oklahoma. It's when Governor Stitt took $10 million of the first round of CARES money moved it over to the Department of Ag and did in a block grant. And we were able to, we had 196 applicants apply for that $10 million to either start up new small processing plants that would be either state or USDA inspected, or to revitalize old plants, old facilities, to bring into the retail standards, which would be state or USDA inspected. They were able to fund 40 applicants out of that 196. There's 19 new processing plants that are either online or will be online by the end of this year because of that money.
Well, I think everybody was shocked that that many people applied, but there's that big of a need and that big of a need for help for those existing ones.
Yeah, even I was shocked in the number of applications that we had in there. But it just shows the need and the demand out there. You know, today's consumer is not yesterday's consumer. Mm-hmm. Today, our consumers, they want to know where their food comes from. They want to know how it's raised. They want to know who produced it. And they want to buy directly from the farmer or rancher if they can.
Sure.
And whether that's restaurants, farmers markets, even the grocery stores. But the Oklahoma Certified Beef Program that was also put in place this last year by Representative Burns and Senator Murdoch is a great program that's off and running, and it guarantees consumers that the beef product is bred, born, raised, and slaughtered in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And consumers love it. They want more of it. Restaurant owners want it. So we're doing some cool things here in Oklahoma to try to develop more competition in the market.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, you ended on a pretty positive note. So is that kind of the mood going forward? Is everybody pretty positive about this?
I think so. I mean, there's a lot that needs to be done. There is no silver bullet. There's no one answer that's going to cure all of the industry problems. Mm-hmm. But we need to take it a piece at a time and work on it. One of the positive things I heard up there was Senator Grassley spoke about his bill that mandates 50% cash trade, and Senator Fisher's bill that mandates 30% cash trade. And they are working on a compromise agreement. Looks like they're going to get one in the Senate. There's some regional differences in those in the mandates. And I think that's what they're working through, and to make it more equitable to the different regions of the country. For instance, the Southern High Plains, we have the very least amount of cash trade of any of the major feeding areas, less than 20% of the cash trade. And at one time, it was as low as 2% here on the Southern Plains, where maybe in Iowa, they have 30-40%, sometimes in cash trade. So the regional differences are important to address, and I think they will get an agreement there with Senator Fisher and Senator Grassley. Yeah, I think that agreement will pass the Senate and then move over to the House, and I would just say the House Ag Committee is looking at that very hard.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for representing and for going up there and for visiting with us today.
Absolutely. Anytime, Casey.